Welcome to the MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church Tensions Podcast with Pastor Ricky Primrose, designed to help you navigate current issues as kingdom citizens. In each episode, Pastor Ricky will tackle a current topic or an event that creates tension within Christians who live in a world that is not our home. Written articles for each episode are available on our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org/tensions.
I do want to welcome you to the Tensions Podcast, the ministry of MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church, where we will typically take a current event or issue and look at it as a kingdom citizen. But in this first episode, we're going to take on a topic that isn't so much related to a current event, but it is a theological question that a lot of Christians may be wrestling with, and we're going to talk through it. And that is the question of the miraculous spiritual gifts. And I'm doing that because if you are a member of MacArthur Boulevard, you know that we recently finished a teaching series on the Holy Spirit. And within that teaching series, it was my intention to spend a message on the miraculous gifts. The Lord led me a different direction toward the end of that series, but I promised to provide some equipping, some perspective on what the Bible says about these gifts in the Bible that we're not exactly sure always what to do with, and so I decided I'm going to take the first episode of Tensions and talk about it. So while this is not a current issue or event necessarily, it is a relevant doctrinal question that we are going to spend some time on. We'll probably do that in two parts. In this first part, we'll look at some of the views of the miraculous gifts, and then in part two, I'm going to try to make a case for why I believe that the miraculous gifts are still available to Christians today. You know, there was a time in which St. Augustine was asked about the right way to do theology. And he responded to that by saying, well, this way is first humility, second humility, third humility, and however often you should ask me, I would say the same. You see, St. Augustine saw humility as a primary virtue in all theological discussions. And this is a really helpful reminder as we approach a discussion regarding spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that are listed primarily in that passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, which have come to be known over the years as the miraculous gifts, they have been the topic of a lot of Christian discussion, debate, and unfortunately, at times, even division within the church. It's one of those sections in your Bible that a lot of Christians, you know, they struggle to understand, much less know how to apply to their own lives with any relevance at all. Now, while every spiritual gift is by definition supernatural, in other words, it is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit operating in your life, only some gifts are rightly defined as miraculous, all right? So for example, the ability to speak in a language that you previously did not know is not only divinely empowered, it is also by definition a miracle, all right? The spiritual gifts that are generally accepted as miraculous would include the gifts of tongues, healing, the working of miracles, the ability to distinguish between spirits, and the interpretation of tongues. Now, in addition to that list, the gifts of prophecy, words of wisdom and knowledge, depending upon how they are operating and really depending upon how you define those gifts, they may also operate in a miraculous way. And so all gifts are supernatural, but not all gifts are necessarily miraculous. We're talking about here specifically the miraculous gifts. Now, time will not allow for a full explanation or treatment of each one of these gifts and what they are and what they're not. My goal here is to help you understand what is the spectrum of views on these gifts and why I believe that these gifts remain available today. I also want to give you, toward the end of part two of this podcast, give you some words of encouragement and caution related to this topic, all right? But before we launch in to some of those questions, let's make sure that we understand what type of doctrine that we're dealing with here, all right? The conversation about miraculous gifts is not a first-order doctrine. By first-order doctrine, I simply mean doctrines that are essential to the gospel and really that function as boundary markers between Orthodox Christianity and heresy. So a denial of a first-order doctrine really is a denial of the essence of the Christian faith itself. So, for example, a first-order doctrine would be the divinity of Christ. To deny the divinity of Christ is to deny something essential to the Christian faith itself. This discussion on the miraculous gifts is not a matter of orthodoxy versus heresy. Now, while there are aspects of this discussion that would perhaps fall into the category of second-order doctrines, generally speaking, these are third-order discussions, okay? So let me kind of explain what I mean by second- and third-order doctrines. A second-order doctrine are doctrines that maybe aren't essential to the gospel, but they are significant enough that disagreement over a second-order doctrine would make partnership within the same local church really difficult. So, for example, whether or not infants should be baptized, I would categorize as a second-order issue. Not essential to the gospel itself, but it would be hard for us to partner together within the same local church if we disagreed on that issue, practically speaking. Third-order doctrines, on the other hand, are doctrines where Christians, even within the same church, may disagree, but they can still function and live in harmony one with another in the same church. So it's important in this conversation to maintain a spirit of humility and graciousness. We need to avoid what I would call the danger of doctrinal sectarianism, which says that if you do not believe exactly like I believe on every issue, we cannot partner with each other, we cannot learn from each other. Okay, that's a mindset that produces unnecessary division within the body of Christ. We need to be zealous, as zealous, to maintain the unity of the body as we are to defend our own position, okay? We need to, in these types of conversations, practice careful listening, a willingness to learn, and an openness to receiving new information or even adjusting our perspective. I think the adage of John Wesley is helpful here. He said that in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. So, with that being said, let me describe the spectrum of views that exist related to the miraculous spiritual gifts. And I put the spectrum into three different categories, all right, that kind of move along this spectrum. Not to oversimplify it, but hopefully this will kind of give you a framework to think about this issue. The first category would be that of cessationism, okay? Cessationism. Cessationism is the belief that the miraculous gifts ceased when the Bible was completed in the first century, or at least with the close of the apostolic age, okay? These gifts, according to the cessationists, would therefore no longer be available today. Now, cessationists vary to some degree in their openness to the possibility, hypothetically speaking, of the miraculous gifts today. So even within cessationism, we can make some distinctions. Hard cessationism believes that the Bible explicitly teaches that the miraculous gifts would stop, all right, appealing to passages like 1 Corinthians 13:10. So a hard cessationist would argue the Bible teaches that these gifts are going to cease when the apostolic era is over. And so a hard cessationist would in no way be open to the possibility of miraculous gifts today. You know, some have talked about the concept of soft cessationism, all right? Soft cessationism, on the other hand, does not claim that there's firm biblical or explicit biblical teaching that the miraculous gifts would definitely cease. However, a soft cessationist would say that the Bible doesn't give any indication that the miraculous gifts would be normative throughout the church age, and that Christians should feel no responsibility to pursue these gifts today, all right? Furthermore, according to the soft cessationist, they would say church history, if you just look at the history of the church, it would suggest that these gifts are, to a large degree, no longer operative in the church today. So given the way that these gifts are often abused in modern churches and some charismatic movements, Christians, according to the soft cessationists, should exercise a high degree of caution in regard to these gifts, even if remaining open theoretically to the possibility that they have not ceased altogether. All right, now it should be noted that cessationism does affirm that God continues to do miraculous activity today, such as miraculous healing, okay? So don't think that a cessationist doesn't believe that you can be healed or that we shouldn't pray for healing. Most cessationists, however, believe that the miraculous gifts served a specific purpose within the first century. Typically, that purpose is defined as confirming the apostolic message. And therefore, since the canon, the apostolic message of the Bible is closed, those gifts are no longer needed in the church today because the purpose for which they existed has been fulfilled. Okay, so that is, generally speaking, the view of cessationism. The next view I want to introduce is that of then continuationism. Continuationism, and as the word itself expresses, all right, this is the belief that the gifts, these miraculous gifts, continue to be available even today. All right, this view would believe that not only is there no biblical support that the miraculous gifts ceased, okay. The continuationist would argue that the Bible actually teaches that these gifts will not cease until Christ returns, okay? So according to continuationism, the miraculous gifts will continue throughout the church age. And that's one of the big distinctions between soft cessationism and continuationism, is that continuationists actually point to the Bible and say there is biblical support for the belief that the miraculous gifts continue, whereas the hard cessationist says, the Bible says the opposite, the Bible says these gifts are going to cease. The soft cessationist says, well, the Bible doesn't really say one way or the other whether they continue or cease. The continuationist says, no, there is biblical support to say these gifts will continue. Furthermore, according to the continuationist, they would believe that the Bible actually exhorts, calls Christians to earnestly desire the gifts that build up the church, specifically the gift of prophecy, pointing to exhortations found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, chapter 14, verse 1, chapter 14, verses 12 and 13, as well as verse 39. So if the miraculous gifts are manifested within the corporate gathering, according to most continuationists, they would say that yes, biblical order should always be maintained according to the instructions and the precepts that Paul actually gave the churches laid out in places like 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. All right, so generally speaking, that would be the view of the continuationist. The last category I'll give you on this spectrum of views is that of Pentecostalism, and I really just mentioned this briefly to distinguish what some of the defining characteristics of Pentecostalism with continuationists who would not fall into the Pentecostal camp. The primary theological difference between Pentecostalism and broader continuationism is that Pentecostalism typically teaches what's known as the doctrine of subsequence, all right? The doctrine of subsequence says that the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs subsequent, all right, after conversion, and is usually evidenced by the speaking of and speaking in tongues. Okay, so it's in some Pentecostal circles, they would say that a Christian has not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit unless they have spoken in tongues. So all Pentecostals would be continuationists, but not all continuationists would affirm the doctrine of subsequence, and therefore would not be aligned with pure Pentecostalism in that sense. Now, what I'm going to argue for in part two of this podcast is for a continuationist position. I do not affirm the doctrine of subsequence. I think the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs at conversion. Since the gift of tongues is clearly not for all Christians, as Paul seems to suggest in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that not all speak in tongues. I don't think that tongues is a necessary manifestation or evidence that you've been baptized in the Spirit. No, I think all Christians were baptized in the Spirit when the Spirit of God was poured out on them by grace through faith at the time of their conversion. I want to thank you for listening to the Tensions podcast. For a written copy of this episode or for more information on MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church, please visit our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org.